Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Pogo Man,
We are broadcasting live in the Twin Cities of Millennium and Paragon Cities. I don't do this alone, no, I get by with the help from my friends. This one in particular, some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. Some people, like us, we just call him Mad Viking.
Alright, I'm awake. I'm awake.
I don't know what that was all about. Okay.
I'm still on the tired side.
I can tell. I can tell.
But it's like I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I am just ready.
Just be careful. It's not a freight train hit coming your way. Or a really big truck.
But yes,
so
soon I will be actually able to take a break.
Yes. Well, on Monday night anyway, on Monday night anyway, because next Monday we are off for the American holiday, 4th of July / Independence Day. Mm-hmm. So.
But
there you go.
And hopefully the batteries will be recharged.
Yes. Because then the week after, we're only a couple weeks away to Don Con 8, the Ojo.
I hope you've been getting help.
Yes, tomorrow I will get in touch with people. Because I was going to try and do this weekend. Was such a bad weekend. Oh, I had to get some pain. I can't even talk. Pain block shots in my lower back. And I don't know why the anesthesia was just playing havoc with me all weekend.
So, in other words, all weekend you were imitating the little baby inside Christy Alley of Look Who's Talking going, look at Mr. Hand.
It wasn't that bad. It was just, like, moments I was wide awake. And all of a sudden, I just got really groggy. Like, well, Friday, I slept most of the day. I couldn't believe that one. I slept most of the day. I was just like, oh, my God. And then, like, Saturday morning, I had to get up early, take care of a couple things. And then we came back. I'm like, okay, I'm shut. And then I had to take care of some things Saturday night. I got through that somehow. Came home.
There you go.
Safely. And Sunday, I was just shot. I was like, oh, my God. And I was like, oh, my God, I have something to do Sunday night. That got canceled. I was like, oh, thank God. I was like, I'm not going to make it. So I just vegged out. Like, oh, there's a pay-per-view on it. Somebody's embedding for me online to watch. So I watched that and just...
I got a better comparison. Bill Engvall, he was joking when he tried medicinal marijuana. Hi, honey, I'm just ahead.
I was going to say, for you pro wrestling fans, if you didn't catch the AEW NJPW Forbidden Door 2 last night, try and catch it. It was great. You know, somebody was asking, so who won? You know, because it wasn't really a tally of, like, the two companies, because there were some matches that had AEW against AEW, New Japan wrestlers against New Japan wrestlers. I just said the pro wrestling universe won. If you're a fan of wrestling, it was a great card. The wrestling was amazing. The main event was shortened because it turned out it was Bryan Danielson, or Daniel Bryanson, I forget what he calls himself nowadays, against Okada from...
The goat.
Yeah, the
and
goat.
You can take whatever meaning you want of the goat.
Right. Again, well, the American Dragon, that's his nickname, against Okada from New Japan Pro Wrestling. And it was a great match, but people felt like it should have went 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes longer. believe it or not, it turns out he admitted afterwards he broke his forearm during the match. And
that
would
be good reason.
And he had a very creative way for his finisher to do the finisher they intended. I was like, wow. I was like, that's it? You know, I was like, that's a really short match. I mean, it was a good match for what it was, but then you found that afterwards, like, no, he admitted in the right afterwards that he had a broken forearm. He broke his forearm like 5 minutes into the match. Like, what? So for him to go on that long with a broken forearm.
That works.
It's like, all right, cool. But I'm going to say the Kenny Omega-Will Ospreay match was the match of the night. That was unbelievable. So, because I know they're playing a third match. That was the second match. I know they're playing a third match. So I don't know how they're going to top that one. So we'll see what happens, folks. Anyway, that's all I want to say about wrestling.
All right, let's do the quick update. It will lead up to a little discussion here. The updates. Here we go. Superheroes.
Yes.
Nothing.
All right, City of Titans. Nothing. I got nothing.
It was an interesting observation, and you know, I never even thought about it. Dawn Radio has been going on for 8 years. City of Titans should have been going at 2015. It's now 2023. 8 years.
Right. So far, they have an alpha stage. You can go into the onto their island. You can do the costume creator, and I think you could test some basic power sets. And that's about it.
And what are they best known for? Trademarking soon.
I used to play this wrestling app. That's how I got into podcasting. And I thought their trademark was soon. No, no. This is ridiculous. Because think about it. Think about it. This is DawnCon 8. I thought by now we'd be doing, like that year we did the crossing, you know, like how we cross the streams with other games now.
Yeah.
I thought we'd be including them.
Yeah. And Ship of Heroes, the Johnny Come Lately, is more closer to a full release.
I can't believe that one. But
and everyone else, reboot.
One of them folded.
Which one?
We haven't heard anything from that. Heroes and Villains. They said after, like, I don't know how many weeks that we did, after, like, 3 years straight or something like that. I don't know how many years of weekly updates we did for them. They finally admitted that, that they finally admitted that they can't, that the vision they had wasn't the vision intended. And they were going to go retro. And it was something, I forgot who made the comments, like, they're so advanced, they're going retro before they even open the game. I think it was Piffle. She said something like that. And I was like, what? Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Silver Regret over in Champions Online. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Champions Online says, the power was just flickering from storms in the area. Don't know if that is going to affect how long I'm able to hang out. Yeah, I had to give the same warning because I was told about half an hour before we started talking before the show. We're supposed to get bad thunderstorms tonight. So
same here.
Yeah. So if you suddenly
we're all in the northeast area.
Yes. So if you suddenly lose one or both of us, that's why. Okay, let's see here. I'm looking at nine. Yeah, it looks like 9 p.m. It's going to be a 30% chance of lightning and thunderstorms. And then 10 p.m., nothing. Okay, that's great. And then 11 to 2 a.m. is going to be the worst of it. All right. No, that's what I say. All right, that's the one weather. Hold on, mommy. I always check a couple weather services at this point for that. Come on.
Nice.
now it's saying thunderstorms possible after midnight. A few storms may be severe. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but...
In other words, the storms up top will be playing Eric Clapton. After midnight, we gonna let it all hang down.
Okay, so there you go. So if we lose
going
anybody...
Like, yeah, he's tired. He's gone goofy.
No. I was just gonna say. So if you guys lose any of us, you know why. But joining us here in the on the steps of Atlas Park, in front of City Hall, in the Excelsior server, you have myself, Mad Viking, Wolfgang Smirnoff. And, of course, Pogo
That's
Springs.
That's not a good sign. Just after we talked about it, he poofed. That's not a good sign.
Poofed.
Silver egret.
Oh, no. Oh,
That's
no.
not a good sign for the rest of us New Yorkers.
Okay. Yep. Okay. And, of course, over in the WCSC studios of Millennium City in Champions Online, myself, Mad Viking, Pogo Spring. Sylvia Grant was just here. Hopefully she'll be back. And, of course, Alan and Tennyson's Clarence and Mr. Nom Nom. We're all having a grand old time. And hopefully the rest of you listening out there somewhere. Hold on. Wait. I checked the chat room. Let's see. George Mosley, too.
Okay, now he's back.
I mean, she. It's a she.
Silver Egret's back. Yeah.
That's right.
It's like, don't do that!
And I don't know why I keep flying every time I click over. I just start flying in the air. I don't know what's going on here. Okay. Oh, and I guess the big news for Champions Online this Friday. Now, if I can find it, I'll be happy.
DevCC.
I got it. Yeah, it's a DevCC, folks. Yes, it is. Yeah.
After successfully winning the last one, he'll be back to complaining.
No, I didn't win the last one. No, there was one in between. I didn't. The last one was the Bob
won
the
you
last.
Took, you, but no, this time you grabbed the gold. This time, I grabbed the gold,
and then we have the apocalypse one that I didn't win. I didn't get anything on that one. Okay, so this is choose your. This is weird the way they name this one. Choose your character costume contest. Well, isn't that every costume contest? They got lazy with this one. Choose your character. Okay, I'll read it. The eternal battle continues. Quarters are drained, wrists are sprained, and frames are counted. But in the hey, quiet down, you're louder than me. But in the end, there can only be one champion, or two in this case. We're holding a costume contest in a tribute to fighting games. And it's a duo costume contest. Find a buddy and get together two characters from a fighting game of your creation. We'll be judging on originality and creativity, but we also want to see two characters who look like they're from the same game. You can tell Ryu and Blanca came from the same game, or Baraka and Liu Kang, even though those characters look nothing alike. Look for thematic elements to link your characters. We'll be doing a live stream costume contest on 30th. Oh my God. We'll be doing a live stream costume contest on 30th.
On 30th, huh?
What 30th? Okay. Judged by some of the developers that worked on Champions Online. Hold on. This is for the date. This is for the title of this this costume contest. I'm calling three drinks on the title and one for that date thing. Judged by some of the developers that work on Champions Online. Head to the Powerhouse Theater to participate. Judging begins at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. It says PT. It's server time. And the costume begins at 4. You can watch the show live on the Champions Online Facebook page or on our Twitch channel. There will be three winners and five runners-up.
And they will be handed Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
And a year's supply of turtle wax.
And Samsonite luggage.
That's right. And here's how the prizes really break down. See, that's a throwback to all those old game shows we used to watch growing up as kids, if you're watching the Sevens. Never mind. Okay, here we go. Our top three will win a contest special item voucher, a contest heroic item voucher, a contest honorable item voucher, and two dev tokens. Unique title, One Must Fall. And five honorable mentions will win two contest honorable item vouchers. Okay, look, this tooth is still killing me, and I can't get a hold of a dentist. So this is like really like, are you kidding me?
You're
going to
go old school, huh? You're going to go old school.
Two. What? Oh, no, because hold on.
You're not doing the door handle, huh?
No. Okay, hold on. And five honorable mentions will win two contest honorable item vouchers and two dev tokens. And everyone who participates, basically just show up in the damn Powerhouse Theater when the title activates, will receive the title World Warrior. Oh, okay. The heroic voucher will offer you a choice of rare lockbox costumes from the past, while the honorable voucher will offer you a choice of rare individual costume pieces from lockboxes of the past. We'll see you at the Powerhouse Theater, champions. Now,
you actually made me think of another game past Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. Do you remember from your arcade days that one game from Neo Geo that had eight games for you to choose from for 25 cents? Do you remember World Heroes?
Yes, but I was thinking Street Fighter versus Marvel.
Well,
or was it Mortal
Neo
Kombat
Geo
versus Marvel?
Yeah, that was
right,
a Neo Geo.
Right.
Yeah, it's like you knew the Neo Geo because they had they had the World Heroes. They had Tough Tank.
Right.
Contra.
Hold on.
Some form of a
Contra-looking
game.
Right. I was going to say, I thought that might have been their original game, but it wasn't.
Ghosts and Goblins, I think, was also in that bunch.
Yes. Or that was a ripoff. I think they had...
Yeah, but you knew the Neo Geo game.
Oh, my God. Man. If you have $569.99, you could buy that arcade thing you were talking about.
The Neo Geo?
Yeah, the Neo Geo. Hold on. But since we're talking about it, I'm going to Amazon to see. Oh, okay. By the way, save your pennies, kids. July 11th through 12th is Amazon Prime Day or days. Did they tell you that? Oh, wow, this has 50 popular SNK games. Holy shit.
All right. They have a listing.
You forgot one.
What?
The King of Fighters.
King of Fighters. Oh, yes, the red baseball cap one.
That's right. Fatal Fury.
Uh-huh.
Oh, see, I wish they would just have the list. They have another one. It's not a full cabinet for $500. You know, you put it on a table.
Oh, okay. I was about to say.
Oh, my God. There's... Hold on. Let me see if I can find all these games here. See, I wish they would just list all the games. And then I can tell you the fight, because I remember, if you see the list, holy shit. Okay, hold on. This night might not be a good thing to get, because, 10 of them are the King of Fighters, different renditions through the years, 94 to 2003, Metal Slug, Samurai Showdown, Fatal Fury, World Heroes and Art of Fighting. Art of Fighting was another one.
Mm.
And I think that's it.
All right. I went to Wikipedia. Let's see what we have.
Okay. That's where I was going to go next. Okay.
All right. Three Count Bout, ADK World, Aero Fighters 2 and 3, Aggressors
right.
of Dark Combat, Alpha Mission, Androdunos,
uh-huh.
Art of Fighting 1, 2, 3, Takatono Sama, Mahang, Mahjong Manuki, Bang Bang Busters, Bang Bead. That doesn't sound right. Where's
no,
Ray?
It sounds like the guys who want to sponsor our show that made the Pogo Pogo Happy Fun Time Show thing, whatever it's called.
Baseball Stars 2 and Professional. Battle Flip mm-hmm. Shot, Blazing Star, Blues Journey? Bomberman, Panic Bomber, Breakers Revenge, Burning mm-hmm. Light, Captain Tamade, Jimmy Maruko-chan, Maruko Deluxe Quiz, Cross Swords 1 and 2, Cyberlip, Double Dragon.
How can we forget that
How
one?
We forgot Double Dragon. 8-Man.
I was thinking
Maurice
Double
Division.
Dragon, but you mentioned Neo Geo. I didn't think
yeah.
that was Neo Geo.
Yeah. Fatal Fury, King of Fighters 2, 3, Fatal Fury Special, Fight Fever,
uh-huh.
Football Frenzy, Galaxy, Fight Universal Warriors. There's the Universal Warriors. Ordered! Gunryu, Garu, Mark of the Wolves, Ghost Pilots, Goal, Gurren, Idol Mahjong, Final Romance 2. Okay.
I don't know.
Is that Strip Mahjong?
I... Who did the one, the time... Oh, it was a time game. Time Crushers, not Time Bandits. It was Time Stealers, Time something or other.
Hold on. It may be on this list. We're only...
Okay.
Ironclad, Josh and Destinude, Quest of Jung Bennett, Carnal's Revenge, King of the Monsters. There's another one, King of the Monsters 2.
Ooh.
Kazuni Encounter, Last Resort, League Bowling, Legend of Success Joe, Magical Drop 2, 3, Magician Lord, Matramelli, Metal Slug. That's the one I was thinking of. Metal Slug.
I said
2,
Metal
3,
Slug.
4, 5, 6, X. A lot of Metal Slug.
Now, what's Metal Slug about? I don't remember Metal Slug.
The one that you
it.
Jump into the tank and then you're blasting the cartoon-looking soldiers.
Ah, right. Okay.
Minasan no Okaji-sama Dezu Dai Sogotoro Takai. No, I'm not going to try to say that again. Money Puzzle and Exchanger. Mutation Nation, NAM 1975. I remember that one. Neo Bomberman, Neo Drift Out, Neo Geo CD Special, Neo Geo Cup 98, The Road to the Victory, Neo Mr. Do, Neo Turf Masters, Nightmare in the Dark, Ninja Combat, Ninja Commando, Ninja Masters, How Nippocho. No, I'm not going to try to say that again. Overtop, Pleasure Goal.
Oh, shit. My phone has a King of Fighters app. My phone has a King of Fighters game. Well, it's an app.
Pleasure Goal, 5-on-5 mini soccer. Okay. Pochi and Nia, Pop and Bounce, Power Spikes, Prehistoric L2, Polestar, Puzzle Bobble, there's another one, Puzzle Bobble 2, Puzzle to Pawn, Puzzle to Pawn R, Puzzled, Quiz Diocesan, The Last Countdown, Quiz King of Fighters, Quiz Mendatai, Neo and Geo. No, I'm not going to say that again. Rage of the Dragons, Ragnarok, Real Bout Fatal Fury, Real Bout Fatal Fury 2, the newcomers, Real Bout Fatal Fury Special, Writing Hero, Robo Army, there it is, Samurai Showdown 2, 3, Blades of Blood 4, Amakuso's Revenge 5, Showdown 5 Special, Savage Reign, Sengoku, Sengoku 2, 3. Oh, God. Sensetsu Samurai Spirits, Bushido Resuden. Good luck. Shock Trooper, Shock Trooper, Second Trump. Shogi no Tatsuin, Master of Shiogi. SNK versus Capcom, that's what you were probably thinking. SVC Chaos. Soccer Brawl, Spin Master, Stakes Winners 2, Street Slam. Strikers 1945 Plus, Super Baseball 2000, Super Dodgeball, Super Sidekicks, Super Sidekicks 2, the World Championship. Super Kai Sidekick Street.
I just found Golden Axe Classics on my phone app, on my app store.
Okay.
Great.
Tecmo World Soccer 96, The Irritating Maze. The King of Fighters, 94, 95, 96, 96 Collection. 97, 98, The Slugfest, 99, Millennium Battle. 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003. The Last Play 2, The Super Spy. The Ultimate SNK Football Championship. Thrash Rally, Top Hunter, Roddy and Kathy. Top Players Ka, Golf. Twinkle Star Sprites, Viewpoint, Voltage Fighter, Gausser, Waku Waku 7, Windjammers, World Heroes 2, Jet, World Heroes Perfect, Zenblade, Zentric, Zupapa. Bless you. Done.
Hi, very good. Next.
That list of Neo Geos is brought to you by the Poco Poco Super Duper Happy Fun Time Old Time Radio Program.
Hey. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh. Now, how many of us had just had a bad flashback of that seeing that Neo Geo arcade game? Well, you usually found it like in a Pizza Hut. You usually found Neo Geo at a Pizza Hut.
Believe it or not, it was in my college. At my college, we had a game room. We had a, I forgot what we called it. It was student activities down by the cafeteria where it was like upstairs, like the students who lived on campus, they, you know, use their student card for food. Downstairs, for those of us who lived off campus, we go down, get a snack in the afternoon or whatever, lunch or whatever. And I was like, what's in here? I was like, oh, my God. And we found this game room, right? It was open in the afternoon. And then these group of kids who live there found, there's a pool table. And they found a way to ruin it for everybody.
No.
It was like they were in there all day on the pool table. And they were the types that, like, they would stuff paper in the holes so they didn't have to keep paying for it all the time.
Oh, jeez.
And they were in, and, like, you go in there to play, and it's like, oh, come on, you guys played, like, three games, like, and finally, it's like people say, look, you guys are in here all the time from 9 a.m. till like midnight. Okay? We're playing tonight. And fights almost broke out. And it got to the point they were banned. I mean, their pictures were up. It got to that point. And it was like for a semester, and it was like I remember my freshman year, it was cool. Sophomore year, it was great. Junior year, they were there for a semester. Senior year, game room was closed. They moved everything out. Everything was out of there. Oh, that's what it was, right? The game room was upstairs, and then he put in this little room downstairs, and it was only open from like 4 to like 7. So, and it's funny,
so in other
we never
words,
saw
these
those,
people
kids, those kids
were
again.
Chased off the campus.
Oh, they got full scholarship. Like, they got these special scholarships, and it was like they were there, and then it turned out that they were brought in, and it's like, here's the deal. You're on academic probation now. Well, what does that mean? Can you tell us any, off the top of your head, can you tell us any of the professors you have? Huh?
You're on.
Yeah. In other words, they hadn't been to a class all semester. They took it as a free ride. And they said, yeah, this is why And the student council says, why do we do this? Why not just give these scholarships to people, you know, split them up to people who could use them?
They were on super secret double probation.
Oh, it wasn't secret. Oh, they let everybody knew. Everybody knew. And they thought it was unfair. And they said, fine, do us a favor. It wasn't even asking for the grades. It was like this. Off the top of your head, and this is past midterms now. This is like after midterms. Mm. Name one of your professors. What do one of your professors look like?
And they dumbed out.
They couldn't name one. They didn't know what any of them look like. They put pictures on the wall. I heard this is the test. They put four pictures on the wall, put a name to the professor, right?
Mm.
The problem was they took four pictures that weren't any of their professors. It's like, these aren't even your professors. And they did it as a group, too, because two of them, because supposedly they had the same, like, combined, you guys failed this test. Attendance-wise, not one class. They hadn't even bought the books for the class.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like, come on.
Well, it's still better than what I'm seeing on YouTube. I see some people going up to college, into the college, and asking questions. You know, we're talking fifth grade level, and they're blanking out. How many states do we have? I can't tell you how many times I heard the number 52.
That's because Biden said there were 54 states. That's because Biden said there were 54 states.
Well, they were saying 52.
How many countries are there in the United States?
Okay. Aspen art major. What makes the color blue?
Yes. The sky. Good. We're off to a good start.
They're an art major, and they do not know one of the three primary colors.
When I was in college, art majors made fun of the English majors because they said all we had to do was write something down and get an A. It's like, that's not true. You have to make it grammatically correct. This and, you know what I mean? They just thought you wrote down anything. Then it's like, finally we said, you guys are full of shit. Every time you have your big end of the year art exhibit, all we hear from you guys. Oh, I couldn't think of anything. So I grabbed a bunch of stuff on the inside of my desk. I threw it together, and the art teacher said, oh, this shows this, this, and that. And I yesed him to death, and I got an A. Are you kidding me?
So in other words, they could have did a tribute to MacGyver. Put a piece of paper clip, put some gum on it, and wrap it around chicken wire.
Yes.
There you go.
That's what they all were. And these art professors are like, oh, this is wonderful. Meanwhile, everybody looking at them goes, that looks like they run to their desk and they pull shit together and just put it together in like half an hour before they went to bed.
What do you call this, the MacGyver?
It's like they're sitting there going, I heard one person go, like their visitors would get like, my 4-year-old could do something like that, did something like that for their project, and they got, you know, like my 8-year-old did that for third grade and got an A. It's like, hey, they should be an art major.
I mean,
like,
if you're going
tell the art
to cheat, it's like if you're going to do a cheat, at least use a little creativity. I actually knew this one guy, grew up with him, and you always have to do a book report until you get to, like, junior or senior year. He, and because every year it's a different teacher, okay, guess what you do? You read, you give a report on the same book. He got into full detail of Jack London, Call of the Wild, by the time he was in 10th grade.
Really?
And I'm, you know, I was, you know, I was there until I moved to Florida. So let's see, that would be, I was up to 8th grade. And I'm going like, he just did again. I didn't say it out loud because, you know, you don't do a squeal in Brooklyn, New York.
Right.
And I found out, did you keep doing that? Yeah. I'm going like, okay, so he likes Jack London, Call of the Wild. I'm wondering if he actually saw that TV movie. Was it a TV movie or an actual movie? I know they did Call of the Wild. I want to say it was a TV movie.
What?
I want to say if he...
They also, you know what's funny? I remember it being on HBO. Actually, you know what? Hang on.
All right.
Hold on. I'm going to IMDb now. Call of the Wild. The Call of the Wild. Call of the Wild. Oh, my God. No, there's like some. In 97, there was a TV movie. 92, there was a TV movie. 2000, there was a TV series.
TV series?
Yeah, it says 2000 TV series. In 92, there was a TV movie starring Ricky Schroeder. In 97, there was a TV movie starring Richard Dreyfuss. Call of the Wild. 2009, I don't think that's the same thing. The Call of the Wild, 1972, regular movie starring Charlton Heston. Call of the Wild was a movie 1935 with Clark Gable. And then in 2020, Harrison Ford starred in The Call of the Wild.
Is this all the same book?
Hold on,
book,
there's
they just
more.
Happen to have the same name.
No, it looks like it's... Hold on, I'm still on here. 1976, The Call of the Wild. John Beck, TV movie. Okay, I think that's it, because now in 2005, The Call of Cthulhu, starring Matt Foyer.
No, that's a little different. We go from a hybrid dog wolf to Cthulhu? No.
Wait, hold on. While sorting the affairs of his late uncle, a man accidentally stumbles across a series of dark secrets connected to an ancient horror waiting to be freed. Ooh. It got 7.1 out of 10. That's pretty good, though. I mean,
for... All right.
Now, my question is, where can I find this movie? It's only 47 minutes, so...
Well, it's a TV movie, yeah.
I don't know
remaining...
if it's a TV movie. Oh, and of course, you must watch Baba Hotep. It's on Tubi. Okay, I'm digressing. I'm digressing greatly when we go from the Call of the Wild to the Call of Cthulhu and Baba Hotep. But if you haven't seen Baba Hotep, you got to see Baba Hotep.
Well,
being silly,
I thought I had news. I thought I had news. And then I actually read the
article. And I said, yes, and I said, read that article. That's, yes, sometime. But I do have some news I could read really quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, I will start. I have a few articles, and then we'll get to the book. So, remember how we've been saying for weeks and months that they're going to do a Rey Skywalker movie? So The title for the upcoming Rey Skywalker-focused Star Wars movie has reportedly been set alongside the film's shooting dates. Now, this is Production Weekly via World of Real notes that the movie is set to start shooting April 2024, and that the title is Star Wars New Jedi Order. It's nearly identical to the series of Star Wars Expanded Universe novels that were released from 1999 and 2003. The report also mentions a May 22, 2026 release date for the film. Okay, here's the premise. Set roughly 15 years after Rey's victory over Palpatine and the end of Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, reads the synopsis from the report, the sequel delves into Rey's courageous endeavor to restore the Jedi Order, where she assumes the role of a mentor to two promising young students, a girl and a boy. Well, guess what? As their training progresses, it becomes evident that the girl possesses an extraordinary... evident that the girl possesses an extraordinary abilities. It possesses extraordinary abilities, destined to emerge as the future leader. Okay, so as of right now, the movie's being directed by Charmaine Obaid Chinoy of Ms. Marvel fame, and written by Peaky Blinders creator Stephen Knight. It will star Daisy Ridley as Rey, who last appeared in Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, which she described as her favorite filming experience. Congratulations, apparently you're the only one. Well, she was. All right. So while we're in the same thing, since Marvel's owned by Disney, the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 4K and Blu-ray release date has been revealed. Let's see. They aren't too far off either. Okay. So the Marvel Studios sequel will release digitally on July 7th, 2023. That's not that far off. And will then release on 4K Ultra HD, Blu-ray, and DVD on August 1st, 2023. The bonus features include two featurettes, The Imperfect, Perfect Family, and Creating Rocket Raccoon, several deleted scenes, a gag reel, and director's commentary. In the film, our beloved band of misfits are looking a bit different these days, reads the Marvel Cinematic Universe sequel synopsis. Peter Quill, still reeling from the loss of Gamora, must rally his team around him to defend the universe along with protecting one of their own. Mission that, if not completed successfully, could quite possibly lead to the end of the Guardians as we know them. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 was directed by James Gunn and was released in theaters on May 5th. The sequel heavily features the backstory of Rocket, the armed and snarky raccoon voiced by Bradley Cooper, and his history with the film's villain, the High Evolutionary, played by Chukwudi Iwuji. That's a mouthful. I had no idea that was him. Okay, and now for some DC news. We have an update from James Gunn about the Suicide Squad 2. Well, it looks like DC Studios boss James Gunn has revealed that plans for the Suicide Squad 2 are not in the cards. During a recent appearance on Inside of You, Gunn was asked by host Michael Rosenbaum if he has plans for the Suicide Squad 2 after the second season of the Max original superhero series Peacemaker, which stars John Cena. Waller is first, Gunn explained, and Waller is a lot of the same people from Peacemaker. After Rosenbaum clarified that he was asking if the Suicide Squad 2 would happen at all, Gunn firmly stated, no. Well, fine. The Suicide Squad was written and directed by Gunn and released by Warner Brothers in theaters and on HBO Max in 2021. In the acclaimed DC Universe film, the titular team is sent to the South American island nation of Corto Maltese by Argus director Amanda Waller. Their mission? Destroy all traces of Starro the Conqueror before it falls into the local government's control. Although the Suicide Squad bombed at the box office, it was successful enough to earn its spin-off series, Peacemaker. Warner Brothers was also so impressed with Gunn's work on the Suicide Squad that it landed him the coveted gig of DC Studios co-CEO alongside producer Peter Safran. While the Suicide Squad 2 is not part of Gunn and Safran's initial plans for the DCU, the characters will live on in three upcoming series. Creature Commandos, Waller and Peacemaker Season 2. Creature Commandos, Waller and Peacemaker Season 2. I guess Waller's going to be its own thing. Creature Commandos will be the first DCU release to the masses with a tentative air date of 2024. And, of course, right now the Suicide Squad is available to stream on Max. How are we doing here? Okay. Oh, hard times for our beloved mutants. Marvel Comics has released an official trailer for the Fall of X event, heralding a new dark age for mutant kind. Per Marvel, the trailer highlights the supervillain group Orcus's brutal attack on the Hellfire Gala. However, amidst the epic tragedy comes hope, as it's revealed the X-Men have survived and are scattered across the globe and beyond. Now, across many fronts, the climatic war for mutantkind survival and the fate of Krakoa begins. It all kicks off in X-Men Hellfire Gala 2023, number 1, which hits comic shops late this coming July. Fall of X will then continue within the pages of X-Men, Astonishing Iceman, Wolverine, Children of the Vault, Invincible Iron Man, Dark X-Men, Uncanny Avengers, Realm of X, X-Men Red, Alpha Flight, X-Force, Uncanny Spider-Man, Immortal X-Men, and Jean Grey. To that end, Fall of X also encapsulates the upcoming X-Men Invincible Iron Man 2-part crossover featuring the wedding of Tony Stark and Emma Frost. Okay, the road to Fall of X. Since Jonathan Hickman's revolutionary 2019 series, House of X, mutant kind has thrived on the island nation of Krakoa. From terraforming Mars to discovering mutant resurrection, mutantkind has reshaped the Marvel Universe as we know it. Marvel explains, but while they were achieving greatness, their deadliest enemies have been plotting their ultimate downfall. And in next month's X-Men Hellfire Gala 2023, number 1, they strike. The publisher continues, consisting of Nimrod, Omega Sentinel, Moira McTaggart, Fei Long, and other anti-mutant foes, this ruthless group of supervillains call themselves Orcus, and their master plan could doom Krakoa and all its accomplishments. The catastrophic events of the Hellfire Gala will send your favorite characters away from the safety of Krakoa and into a dark new age known as Fall of X. The House of Ideas further promises a thrilling and unpredictable period of X-Men storytelling. X-Men Hellfire Gala 2023, as goes on sale July 26th. Goodness gracious.
I've been, you know, watching some of the comics on YouTube.
I haven't read anything yet. I am so
there's no comic book in my shops in my area, so it's like I do the YouTube view and other people read it. I'm going like, I don't even recognize some of this stuff now. And we're not talking, it's not a case of brand new characters. It's the same characters. I'm going like, okay, the X-Men were basically their version of pointing out equal rights. And now it's the other way around.
It's always been, they've always had enemies and want to destroy them for being different. Since they've been on Krakoa since 2019, I've been reading it. Just last summer after Mom was in the hospital and my stepdad died, I really haven't had time to read anything. I still got to pick up some stuff from the store, and I'm like 7 months behind on stuff because I was getting all the DC stuff. I don't read all the DC stuff. I just wanted it for the DC Rebirth stuff. But they screwed that up. DC screwed it up big time. because it was supposed to be the Doomsday Clock thing. That was supposed to be a 12-month thing. It was supposed to be a year thing. That thing took 2.5 years to come out. I mean, it finally came out, and then other things were going on that I figured, okay, it'll come out, and I'll just read it as I go on. No! I got so far. I'm like, I got boxes of DC shit I probably will never read in there. I got
and you're
so
hoping
far behind
one of them
on that.
Actually hits money.
I don't know. No, I told my comic book guy, I got to talk to him. I will definitely read, like, the X-Men stuff, the Batman stuff. Like, with the Marvel stuff, I just read the X-Men stuff. And X-Men stuff, and then DC's, to me, it's the Batman stuff and Teen Titans, Flash, and Green Lantern. And now I hear that the JSA is back. That stuff I want to read. But now there's so many Batman titles. And everything's so expensive. It's just... Now, that's a problem, too. It's like almost $4 a month for some comic books. It's like you read 10 issues, it's like $40. Okay, it's $150 a month for you. Like, holy crap.
I remember when you had $5, you're able to get 10 comic books.
Seriously, when I first started reading Uncanny X-Men back in late 80, mid 84. Yeah, mid 84. The summer of 84. Sorry, September 84, I think it was. August or September. Okay. That's when I started reading it. Issue 190. It was 35 cents an issue. Between then and ninth grade was considered the last thing of junior high school, okay? Mm-hmm. Between then and we graduated junior high school, it went from 35 cents to $1.50. And that's all I read. My mom's like, really? I was like, look at this. She goes, wow. And I came home one day and she goes, how much did you spend on comics? I was like, I just spent this. Like, why so much? I was like, because I would be happy if they use newspaper print again, like they did back in the, I think they went back to that on some of them too. And they're like, well, you pay $5 for a magazine. Okay. But this isn't like Time Magazine is a big ass comic. A big ass magazine. You know, not a comic book. Sometimes it's comic book, but you know what I mean? It's a big ass magazine. You know what I mean? It's not a 32 page comic book. And I know you got people to pay, but oh my God. You know what I'm saying? And you're not paying the guys who work on the comic books just off by the comic book. They have merchandising and other franchises that go under the envelope, and that's how you pay these people.
And what I'm finding very interesting, the only way you get the memorable stuff is they're pulling out the old-timers. Because the average comic, it's like, not much of a story here.
No, it isn't. And it's ridiculous. Like, nowadays, I could read one comic book in, like, less than 10 minutes. During Chris Claremont's run, back in his heyday, which is when I was reading, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. It took a good half hour to read a comic book.
And it wasn't because, you know, it was difficult to read.
No, it was just very
woody,
and people were talking.
The story.
Yeah, and people were talking to each other. I mean, nowadays, like, hi, hello, how are you? Okay. You know, like... on a 15-minute lunch break, I could read like 5 or 6 comic books. I was like, wow. Okay. Back now, it's gotten to the point, okay, it's getting a little better. But.
Not really.
Kind of ridiculous. It's getting wordier. It depends on who's writing. If you get a real writer, they could make their characters wordy.
I still blame Rob Liefeld.
No. The problem
Lee
with Image Comics was...
Lee and Liefeld. It's that time period.
You know what it was? They were artists. Oh, please. Yeah, during that time period, the early days of Image, I had a long box full of comic books, and all my friends were starting to collect comic books for no reason. So I had to get all the Image stuff like them. I wish I had just stuck to my guns. And I should have known this because he was bought. One of my friends bought like two copies of everything. And I said this, and I was reading one of X-Men. You know when X-Men did the second book came out, I was like, oh my god, this is Chris Claremont's last issue of X-Men he's ever going to write. And he goes, wow, who cares? Is it worth money? I was like, and one of his friends stopped by, and he looked at me, and he goes, shook his head, because he understood. I knew it. He understood the big deal. He's like, I hope you make not one penny off of your collection. You don't get it. And so I went downstairs, and we were at his girlfriend's house. We're hanging up in a room. I went downstairs, and she goes, all right, sell me on Chris Claremont. And I explained to her the whole history. She goes, wow, that is a big deal. I was like, yes, now you get it. That's the point.
I kind of saw it in the Lee Liefeld time period. Just looking at the X-Men alone. When Wolverine got that super wide box style haircut, then all of a sudden, Pharaoh of the X-Force had that. And one of the new of the Mutant Liberation Front had that. And
that was Liefeld.
And then they go to Image, and half of one team had that haircut. I'm like, yeah, no.
Yeah, it was all... And what's funny is the only comics I liked weren't written by Lee or Liefeld. Wetworks was one. But the problem was the main guy who worked on it, his sister just passed away. So there were major delays on that series because he was traumatized by that. So it was taking him a long time to get that out of the way. And
I don't think anyone can blame.
Was criticizing. Oh, but Liefeld was criticizing him.
Oh, geez.
You got to remember, Liefeld was very young when he got in the business. Liefeld was like 16 when he started X-Force. So
you still blame him.
You know, I do, because you know what it is? He never got better. That's the problem. He thought he was the shit, and he never tried to get better. But anyway, if I may.
Okay,
so. Oh. You had to mention it. They just did a quick change.
Ah.
They're dressed like Liefeld characters. Do you have enough pouches on you now?
Weapons.
Weapons, ponies, the wide ponytails. You guys look ridiculous.
And one
can you
with
see
Captain
where you
American, the barrel chest.
Yes. How are you doing that? Using helium balloons. You're floating away. Oh, you're using you have to use your retro thrusters. They are, see? He's giggling. Okay, you're ridiculous. Okay, I now have the tome from the tomb. And let's just say this. If your arch nemesis is from this book, you need a major upgrade. These are oddball criminals from comic book history. They are members of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. And, of course, we start off in the Golden Age. Okay. This villain is a nemesis of Captain Triumph, created by Reed Crandall and an uncredited writer. Here we go.
Here we go.
Right off the bat. Debuted in Crack Comics number 6 of Quality Comics, July 1949. Oh, it gets even worse. Deadliest Attack, Pulling His Finger. Okay.
It's Captain Flatulence. He stands.
It could be.
But don't stand behind him.
No, he's the villain. He's the villain.
Okay.
His quote, Mr. Pointer is very real. Let that comfort you as you fall dead. And, of course, the villain's name, Mr. Pointer. It's impolite to point, but for one exceptionally rude supervillain of the 1940s, it was not only impolite, it was deadly. The murderous Mr. Pointer was verbally boorish. According to his introduction, he told people to drop dead. Even worse, they did. At least he possessed a degree of modesty. The villain remained largely invisible in his debut, except for his jutting finger and gloved hand. Little was known about him that couldn't be detected through a voluminous, all-covering overcoat. The wealthy Banner family finds themselves a victim of Mr. Pointer's deadly digit. Only the exhausted and desperate Loris Banner survives, and she seeks out the help of Captain Triumph. As the captain's assistants, Kim and the quick-to-anger Biff, grill Ms. Banner, she describes the dread figure who has murdered her father and brother. The police would never believe that Mr. Pointer could kill people by leveling his finger. She explains, maybe Captain Triumph won't either, when I tell him. Unfortunately, Loris never has the opportunity. Mr. Pointer utters his fatal command to her through an open window, and then disappears into the night, leaving her for dead. As if to cement his power and his villainy, Mr. Pointer even executes a brave neighborhood dog that pursues him from the house. The last surviving Banner relative, second cousin Smizer, inherits the Banner home and wealth and immediately raises the suspicion of Triumph. Certainly, the hired staff whom Smizer brought in raises a few eyebrows. Surly, unkempt, and pretty eager for a fight, the new butler, Guffy, a chauffeur, Smirky, and chef, Rocco, who's dressed in a manner more suited for a hash house than a mansion, are shadier than most domestics. If Smizer's staff and his fortuitous inheritance don't make him an instant suspect, then the appearance of Mr. Pointer and his homicidal hand at the Smizer residence certainly must. Exerting his index finger at Captain Triumph, Pointer fails to kill the blonde hero, leaving behind an important clue. A tiny missile, he exclaims, no larger than a phonograph needle, but made of ice. As it melts between his fingers, Captain Triumph proposes that it's a poison icicle. Catching up with Pointer, Triumph relieves him of his glove and finds his guess was right. The gloveless gimmick to shoot tiny, deadly projectiles. Fingered as the culprit, Smizer makes a break for it and literally dashes straight into the hands of police officers waiting nearby. So
later on, he will have a new career in a very popular show. He will be the evil monkey that lives in my closet.
But it's just funny. They're tiny missiles. How tiny? You know how small those phonographic record needles are? That's a tiny missile. That's more than a toothpick. Come on. Okay. Our next villain is an enemy of Minute Man, the One Man Army.
Are you
created
sure
by
that's Minute Man?
No, it's Minute Man. Hold on, it's Minute. He's very small. I can tell from pictures. Created by Phil Bard and an uncredited writer.
Well, here we go again.
Hold on a second. You know, I don't know why they just don't take the credit themselves. It's almost like they're saying, no, somebody help me with this. They don't want credit. Like they could pass the buck on. Like, it wasn't just me. I had help on this one. Hey, great. So you and somebody else worked on this. Okay. Debuted in America's Greatest Comics number 1, Fawcett Comics, September 1941. All right, College Fraternity, sorry, Skull and Bones. I've heard of them. The quote, "Take a look, stupid generals. This is what I have in store for all of you. The Skeleton Bath." Ha, ha, ha. Talking about Mr. Skeleton. Hold on. Oh, okay. So, some supervillains have to put in years of work to establish their particular brand of lawlessness, but some have it easier. Some are 15 feet tall and so famous that their handiwork is evident even when they don't introduce themselves. Such is the case with Mr. Skeleton, a desiccated fiend who looms over the heroic foe, over his heroic foe, as a yen for boiling the flesh from his captives. His first encounter with the patriotic pugilist, mind you, maybe it is Minuteman. I don't know. They don't give it. Fine. I'll call Minuteman for now. What do I know? Minuteman files an attempt on the life of the President of the United States. While the hero pursues the gunman, Mr. Skeleton and his agents abduct several top U.S. brass assembled for a diplomatic conference, including Minuteman's friend and mentor, General Milton. "Minuteman, don't try and to save us," pleads the desperate voice of the kidnapped general during a hasty phone call. "Death will be your penalty. It's too late to help. Goodbye. The warning has the opposite effect, and the one-man army pledges to his missing chief. "They've got you. But remember one thing. Minuteman will meet Mr. Skeleton." This is an impressive trick on Minuteman's part, seeing as how no one had mentioned Mr. Skeleton before this point. Still, his instincts are spot on. The aforementioned baddie is indeed responsible for the abductions. He threatens to capture generals with a dip in what Mr. Skeleton calls his skeleton bath, a boiling cauldron of flesh-eating liquid that reduces living beings to strip bone in a matter of seconds. Minuteman saves Milton from the towering, whisper-thin monstrosity, but fails to save the other two generals or to prevent Mr. Skeleton from abducting even more of them. "You both have the brains to lead an army," the giant tells his new captives, "an army against the United States. If you'll come over to my side, I'll spare your lives." Naturally, the freedom-loving captives instruct Mr. Skeleton to go jump in a lake, and Minuteman rejoins the battle, aided by a fully armed American platoon. The fiend exhibits the full extent of his power, shrugging off bullets and smashing heavy artillery like toys. He doesn't account for Minuteman's martial prowess, however, and for his trouble ends up smashed against a wall, shattered into 1,000 pieces, reduced instantly to a pile of smoking bones, all his power and reputation coming to naught. It's an ignoble end for a villain so evil that heroes apparently knew his name without ever having heard it before.
Later on, he also would have a spot in a very popular show. He would be Mr. Bones in the Animaniacs.
Oh, that's true, yes.
Good idea. Oh. Bringing up new characters in a comic book, bad idea. Ending up in this book.
Oh. Okay, and now we go to the Silver Age. Oh, it's our second to last Silver Age. Okay. So this one is a villain of, an enemy of, I'm sorry, The Flash. You know, The Flash.
Ooh.
The Scarlet Speedster and stuff. Yes, yes. That's how far we've gotten. Created by John Broome and Carmine Infantino. Debuted in Flash number 122 of DC Comics, August 1961. Major attributes, spinning and brain damage. That's a fine combination there, if you ask me. All right, his quote, "The Flash and everyone else in the city will soon learn that the top always comes out on top."
There we go.
I just like to laugh at the end. I think it's Michael Jackson. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. And I refer to him as, the villain, of course, is the top. Sometimes all you need to become a top supervillain is a gimmick. Practical concerns like weaponry, gear, and resources seem to take care of themselves if you hit on the right concept. Consider Roscoe Dillon, a career criminal in the midst of a professional crisis. While imprisoned, the clever con draws inspiration from a childhood obsession to rejuvenate, his larcenous labors. Why can't I use my old boyhood hobby of spinning tops to give myself a new method of operating? He ponders on the cot in his grim prison cell. With no one around to interject some common sense, he continues, the theory behind tops gave rise to guided missile systems, he realizes, to the gyro stabilizers of ocean liners. And unless I miss my guess, the same theory will help me reach the top of my profession. The constant repetitive iteration of that same pun is only one of Dillon's newfound offensive abilities. He develops an arsenal of trick tops engineered to cause chaos for law and order types who interrupt his crimes. He somehow stocked his skin-tight costume through literally dozens of the devices, and though he gets an opportunity to use only a few, they boast some pretty impressive effects. At hand, should he need them, are tops capable of launching restraining nets of unbreakable plastic, smoke bomb tops, tops that create illusions, and even a giant atomic hand grenade top. I don't want to know about that one. What's more, Roscoe also teaches himself to spin at terrific speeds, much like a top. The unexpected benefit of that power is not dizziness, but heightened intelligence. The repeated centrifuge force was moving millions of dormant brain cells to the outer areas of my cerebrum, he crows, where they become active, endowing me with fantastic mental powers. Yes, I see. That makes all the sense in the world. That said, the constant spinning has a downside. Namely, it kills him. The final confrontation with his nemesis, the Flash, somehow results in a fatal cocktail of the speeding superhero's high-frequency vibrations and the top's sponge-dry brain cells. The result, painful migraines that ultimately lead to Roscoe's death. He went out in style, though. With his dying breaths, the top set in place a death trap, not just for the Flash, but also for fellow villains and rivals in the Flash's colorful rogues gallery, one of the most famous cadres of crooks in comics history. So.
They actually brought back the top in one of the direct-to-video animations. The Flashpoint. Oh. It was the Flashpoint.
Oh, okay. But wait a minute. So the Flash caused him to dry up his brain cells, caused a massive migraine that caused him to die. What the hell?
This was before Excedrin.
I guess so.
I actually even remember it was a West Coast Titans episode where they went into the afterlife and Top was one of the dead villains that they had to fight.
I see.
Yeah, West Coast Titans. So you had Hawk Dove, yeah. Flame Bird, Golden Eagle, couple of others, I think. Oh, Bumblebee and the one that played the horn. I see him.
What does he look like?
He wore a blue costume hood, played a horn that opens up dimensional portals.
The Pied Piper?
No. Hold on. West Coast Titans. Comics. Titans West. The cast of Titans West are as follows, according to DCpedia. They don't even list. What? All right, next page. Teen Titans West members. Here we go. Beast Boy, Eddie Kane, which is Flame Bird, Bumblebee, Bushido, Chris King, that is Dial H for, the original Dial H for Hero, Don Hall, Willa Dent, Freddie Freeman, Narc, Golden Eagle, Hank Hall, Harold, that's the one I was looking for, Hero, Lilith Clay, Terra Clone. But it was Harold, that's the one I was thinking of, who is the wife of Bumblebee.
Okay.
Yep. You're going like, I wasn't interested in that book. I was kind of sad to find out they actually killed the Golden Eagle, because he was the comic relief of the bunch, and you just could not help but like him.
Yes. Okay.
Basically, a surfer dude who found, I don't want to say Thanagarian, but in the basis, it caused able to give him flight powers. And Surfer Boy also then went, he was doing the superhero for hire business before Booster Gold.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I guess someone beat him to it.
Oh, my God. Somebody posted this meme. Ready? Hold on.
Right.
I've been reading Lord of the Rings. Apparently, Gollum was once a normal man. But wearing the ring drained him of his youth, energy, and any joy in life. Must be the same ring I put on when I got married. I didn't write it. I didn't write it. I'm just, somebody sent it to me. I'm just reading it.
Now, that would be an interesting thing. There's always been talk of Booster Gold having his own either TV or a movie. Okay, bring in Blue Beetle.
Right.
And how about put in Golden Eagle?
Mad.
Yeah.
Bruja in City of Heroes wants an SG invite.
Hold on.
I know who this Bruja is. Do we know who this Bruja is?
Hold on. I'm catching up.
All right.
Not right,
she's right here. She just asked.
Oh, yeah, I do know her. Yes.
Okay.
All right, hold on. Here we go. Boom.
Hey, and welcome to the SG Bruja.
I had to adjust the screen so I can actually.
Okay. So welcome to Paragon Dawn, the City of Heroes edition. All right.
Yeah, but like I said, bring in Golden Eagle. Mm-hmm. Then you have maybe a chance of Keanu Reeves playing a different version of his more famous Bill and Ted character, just as a superhero. That's basically what he was.
Well, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but for those people who want to watch all the Marvel movies in order, and they know they have a problem doing Disney Plus because certain movies missing, as of last week, on the 16th, The Incredible Hulk has been added to the Disney Plus library.
Okay,
and that's
so
important because Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton, that was the second movie released.
That's the Smoochie Hulk.
That the Smoochie Hulk?
Yeah. Ed Norton was in Death to Smoochie.
Oh, right. No, I don't think I saw that movie. I got to see it. Oh,
it's one of the few Robin Williams movies I'm going to like, no, I don't want to see this one.
Did you ever see, or did I ever mention a movie, Willy's Wonderland?
Sounds like a Q Rain moment, but go ahead.
Hold on. It stars Nicolas Cage. He doesn't say a word in the movie. Basically, it's
okay,
like...
Okay, I do it. Now I know. Yeah, all right. I got it. I know.
I might have mentioned it. It's basically he shows up in town, his car breaks down. Somehow, I don't want to give it away, he goes to a place that's like Chuck E. Cheese. It's like Chuck E. Cheese Five Nights at Freddy's type thing. Oh my God. I just looked at you really quick. You know what's coming up? It's the 25th anniversary of Hell in a Cell, Undertaker vs. Mankind. I got some stories I heard from Mick Foley about that. Anyway, it's really good. It's such an under-the-radar movie, and it's such a good movie.
I actually saw, you got a brief version of it, from the YouTube channel Dead Meat, Kill Count.
Okay. And what they say about the movie?
They had fun counting the kills.
I just had someone ask me to
watch the website for them to stream. But we're at the.
I know. Tell them. Just tell them what we got. We got like 2 minutes left. I'm sorry about that. Okay, Willy's Wonderland came out in 2021. You can watch it on the following places for free: Crackle, Hulu, and Plex. I don't know if Plex is free, or you can rent by in Prime Video. But why bother? I gotta watch on Hulu. You can stream it on Crackle, watch it on Plex. I know Hulu you have to pay for. Crackle, I think, is free. You can watch it there. But it's definitely on Hulu. It's only got a 5.5 out of 10. It deserves much higher. It got 2 nominations for awards. Believe it or not, he got in 2022, he got a Critics' Choice Super Award nominee for Best Actor in a Horror Movie. And he doesn't say anything. That's the funny thing about it. He doesn't say anything, and he's so good in it. So this week, try and watch it. We're off next week for the 3rd, for 4th of July / Independence Day. But try and find a way to watch this. We'll talk about it. I'm probably going to watch it again this week, knowing that, you know, we're going to be all right, we got 90 seconds left. Knowing that we're going to be talking about it. I was hanging out with one of my friends and his kids. They're in college now. And my goddaughter, his oldest, we were talking about it. She saw one of her friends over. It's like, and we said, and he goes, I never heard of it. We looked at him like, you never heard of Willy's Wonderland? He goes, should I have? And we're like, oh, my God, it's so underrated. It's so good. And he's like, yeah, but Nicolas Cage had some bombs in recently. Not this one. Not this one. So, all right. So the big news is the Hulk, you know, Incredible Hulk is part of the Disney thing. Oh, and Secret Invasion, the first episode came out last week. I don't know if you saw it. There's a bit of a tragedy at the end of the episode. I don't want to give that away. I want to give you guys some time to watch it. Episode 2 comes out Wednesday. And I think the way they're doing it, it's going to be 6 episodes. I think right after that, Ahsoka will premiere the week after. So there you go. Have a happy and a safe one. Matt, enjoy the wedding. I don't think we're going to see you until after it's over. And people listening from Paragon Dawn, starting tomorrow, I got to get in touch with people. We got to get the ball rolling on getting things set up for DawnCon 8, the Ocho, which will be the weekend of San Diego Comic-Con. Okay. read those comic books, those superhero novels, watch those TV shows in our genre, et cetera, and stay super. Anything you'd like to say in closing, Matt?
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie. Stick around for the Greatest Generation podcast and listen to Dawn Radio and Race the Dawn. Good night, everybody. You guys rock. I think I got everything in. Oh, George Molsey said Hornblower or the Guardian, Mal Duncan, also known as Herald.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Okay, I'm starting the show.
Okay. All right. Is George Molsey Slackhammer?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I got to get going.
All right, okay. All right, I'm just typing.
Yep.
Okay, hold on. Good night, everybody. I'm just logging off. But for now... Okay. Good night, everybody. Enjoy. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Goodbye.